You know, I had a friend talk to me just the other day, asked me for some advice, and said he thought that his partner was annoyed, mad, or upset about something, but they couldn't pin it down because their partner just wouldn't say what it was. Instead, their partner just said, like, it's fine. I'm just a little tired, but we're all good. And it left him with this question, are we really all good? I had to tell my friend that as frustrating as it is, I just can't read your partner's mind. I don't know any more than you know about what's going on. And that's frustrating for me and for you because I can't really give you advice. This experience made me reflect on how common it is for people in relationships or even just with their friends to just hold back and not say what's really on their mind.
Yeah, not speaking up in a relationship is something that it's interesting. I understand it. And I work with couples where this is really common, but it's kind of something that I've struggled to even wrap my head around because I am totally the opposite. I've never been scared to voice my thoughts or worried that, you know, what might happen if I do. If anything, I've had to actually work on toning it down a notch and softening how I say things.
I remember when we were dating, I really enjoyed the fact that you spoke your mind.
And so for me, I just can't imagine bottling it up 24/7, but a lot of people do, not just in their intimate relationships, but in all kinds of relationships, friendships.
And, you know, as we started building this podcast and I started thinking about what it would be like to stay silent all the time, I started wondering where this coping strategy and this mechanism comes from and what sort of long-term serious problems it can create for relationships. And the more I thought about it, the more I saw it popping up everywhere. Much like when you buy a silver car, you start to see silver cars. We just started to see this in every aspect. And we see it in our friends and we see it in brand new relationships. And we see it in newly met couples and we see it in people that have been married for like 30 years.
So that is why we are unpacking this subject today. We're going to talk about what happens when you don't speak up in your relationship. We're going to talk about how it breeds resentment and immaturity. And we're going to give you some solutions as always. So that's what's coming up next here on Master Your Marriage.
Did you know the average couple waits 6 years to get help in their marriage?
Yeah, that's 6 years of pain, hurt, and frustration.
Hi there, I'm Charlotte Snow.
And I'm Robert Snow.
And welcome to Master Your Marriage,
where we believe that having an amazing marriage should never feel like hard work and shouldn't be a guessing game.
This is the show for married couples who want to discover a scientifically proven approach to building a masterful marriage and have fun while doing it.
So if that's you, you're in the right place. Let's dive in.
All right, today's topic's probably a pretty big one. We're diving into what happens when you don't speak up in your relationship. And as always, we're going to share some practical tips in order to help you turn things around.
But before we jump in, we've got some exciting news for our Master Your Marriage listeners.
Oh yeah, this is going to be fun.
This is going to be super fun. So we are launching a new weekly giveaway for anyone who leaves us a podcast review. So if you've never heard us talk about reviews before, here's why this is so important to us. It's not just a way to kind of make us feel good or pat us on the back. It's the reviews are truly the best way to help this podcast to grow. And that's because when Apple and Spotify see more positive reviews, they're more likely to feature us, which means more people can discover the podcast and get the same insights that you do. So if our show has ever given you a helpful tip or strengthened your relationship in any way, we would be so grateful for your review.
And here's how it works. We're really kind of excited about it. It only takes maybe 60 seconds. Head over to Master Your Marriage on Apple Podcasts, scroll down to the bottom, tap 5 stars to rate it, and then drop just a quick sentence or two in the review box. Then each week, we'll pick one review to read on the show. If you hear your review, email us at masteryourmarriage@gmail.com. And then we'll send you a prize and a thank you for just supporting us.
Yeah. And please send that email because that's how we know who you are. So this week's review comes from Susie Pettit.
This is a fun one.
It is a fun one. She said, wow, I feel like I should be paying a consult fee to listen. Your content is so top notch and helpful. I have been in this line of work for more than 2 decades, yet find something new and expansive for myself each episode. I'm so grateful that you two take the time to put this show together. As a podcaster myself, I know it's not a simple task. So thank you. Your teachings help me weekly, if not daily. Love, Susie Pettit.
Man, that's awesome.
It is awesome, yeah. Susie. Love thank you so like much. Yeah. Yeah. So I love that she signed her name. You guys don't have to do that. You can stay anonymous, but it was such a sweet touch that she did. So Susie, shoot us an email with your email address and we'll drop a little gift in the mail to you.
Oh, that's going to be fun. Next week, we're going to read over another review.
Yep.
Another one of our listeners a chance to win a gift. Mm-hmm. So head over now to Apple Podcasts. It might be your review that we share next week.
Okay.
Good.
Let's move on.
All right. So let's get back into today's topic and this pattern of not speaking up for yourself.
So never speaking up for yourself creates a pattern in which you tend to always keep hard topics and difficult conversations to yourself. In some cases, this can become such a habit that you might not even share even your basic preferences with your partner anymore, like whether you want pizza or sushi for dinner.
It might start out that way too, because mm-hmm. as I mentioned in the intro, when we first got married and when we were dating, I would date people and, you know, we'd go on a date and they'd say, what do you want for dinner? Oh, I'll just have what you're having. And for me, I want somebody to speak their mind.
Oh, you found somebody.
Oh, yes. And so you, knowing that, if you're looking for that in your relationship, you'll get that and then some.
Sometimes.
As the relationship moves right. on. All right. There are a couple of really big dangers in not speaking up, right? Yes. The first would be probably the first and most obvious is that you'll never really be known to your partner. Your partner's not going to know your likes or dislikes or tastes, or even if they're bothering you. I want to just dig into the actual definition of intimacy. And the definition is knowing. It's our ability to know everything about someone and allow ourselves to be known by the other person. And intimacy goes both ways. Right. If you allow yourself to be known, then I feel like sharing more about myself and allow myself to be known. And we talk a lot about intimacy here on the show. But if one of you is holding back, then really you're never going to build that deep and abiding connection.
Yeah, exactly. So think of it maybe, here's a metaphor to think about it this way. So say, for example, you were going on a vacation and you really wanted to experience and fall in love with this foreign city, Paris, or somewhere you've never been before. You probably would want to learn everything you could about it before you go. So before you go, you might check out books, you might read Reddit forums, you might study maps, collect a bunch of information, just so that you could know everything that you possibly could. And then as you go and you walk around the city, you might be referring back to those notes and your maps, and you might need to update your maps on your phone if you knew you were going to be somewhere where you'd be out of service.
And that's such a good idea mm-hmm. to do that. The same principle is true with knowing your significant other. To truly have an intimate and connected experience with someone, we really have to know them, not just a curated version that we present to for everyone else in the world to see and our partners at time, but really know them. And that means we need to have a map of our partner. A love map, if you will, is your mental blueprint of your partner's life, everything from their hopes and dreams to their daily stresses and even their preferences. Right. In Dr. John Gottman's work, which we talk a lot about, he's done research based on decades of studying and learning about relationships. And he found that in couples who maintain their love maps, they have a stronger, more resilient relationship. So if you don't share yourself, if you don't share your preferences, your needs and your wants, fears, concerns, you're not allowing yourself to be known in your relationship. And as a result, likely you'll have a lack of resilience, which, as we talked about, that intimacy sort of creates this bond. Mm-hmm. And if you're not creating intimacy, then you're not creating a bond. And then that bond will break much easier.
Amen.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some other reasons why not speaking up in your relationship is a problem. So another reason is that you're going to find, if you don't speak up, you're going to find yourself growing in resentment. Resentment is so nasty. It's a very difficult emotion to probably define and describe, but it's one of those feelings that we've all felt, and it's clear and you know when you're feeling it. So how I would personally describe resentment is it's a complex emotion, a negative emotion that usually happens and results from your perception that maybe you're being mistreated or treated in an unfair way. So this happens though, and this is the key, is it happens when we do not speak up and when we do not express our desires, our needs, our concerns, our wants, or we perhaps put expectations on other people that we don't explicitly state. So if we have expectations that we've never shared with our partner, that can also cause this growing resentment. Okay, so let's say, for example, you are being oppressed in some way in your relationship, or you think you are, or your feelings and your needs, you don't think they're being considered. It's totally possible that your partner isn't even aware that you're feeling this way because you haven't been speaking up about it. So say, for example, your partner, you feel like they've disrespected or embarrassed you in public. We're going to come back to this idea later and give you some skills on how to approach this. But let's say you feel like you've been embarrassed in public and you're angry about that, but you don't share that feedback with your partner. It just then compounds with all the other negative emotions you've been holding on to and all the other resentments you've been holding on to. And that feels awful. Not only does it feel awful, it's destructive because it continues to just eat away and eat away at your relationship until eventually, oftentimes, the relationship ends because that resentment has gone unchecked for so long.
Yeah. So we did a poll on our social media this last week and asked the question, in the last 24 hours, have you felt resentment in your relationship? Because we were curious about how many people would say that they're actively feeling resentment. So right now. So that's why we asked it. We didn't ask if you've ever felt it because everyone felt it at some point. But I want you to just guess before I give you the answer. How many people have felt resentment in their relationship in the last 24 hours?
Maybe 30%, 20%.
You would assume that that would be the case.
So what was it really?
So the last time we checked on the poll, it was over 60%.
That's a huge number.
That's like 2/3 of people out there have felt resentment in the past 24 hours in their relationship. And that is a lot of resentment.
That's a lot.
This may be an unpopular opinion, but our position is that your resentment is really on you. I don't want to say it's a you problem. That's a little tough, but the resentment is something that you brought on.
It's your responsibility.
Yeah. It's not to say that your partner gets a blank check to be a jerk and do whatever they want and be insensitive. And they very well may be doing something that is unfair or unkind, but the buildup of resentment itself comes from you not expressing your needs and wants, your preferences, or even that the action that they're taking are irritating you or bothering you, or you would prefer that they don't. And when you don't speak up, these little micro resentments accrue over time and they just really build up. And that part is on you. It's a direct result of not speaking up, not sharing your preferences, even in a kind way. And before we get too far down the road, we are going to share some tips on how to do this.
Yes, in a respectful way.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, one more reason why you want to speak up in your relationship is if you don't, it will stunt your growth, your emotional growth and your psychological growth. And a funny thing, you know, it's a funny thing that starts to happen when you start to learn to speak up in a respectful way, because it requires a lot of maturity. And some things that start to happen is you start to define yourself. You start to define what matters to you, what your values are, what your goals are, what you want. You have, and that helps you to develop a more solid sense of self. So when you speak up, you have to start to do things like calm yourself down, stay regulated. You have to learn to negotiate fairly. You have to be able to define what are my flexible areas, what are my non-flexible areas where I'm not going to violate these values that are so important to me. So that means I have to actually define what my values are. So there's a lot of growing up that's involved in speaking up, and not learning those things prevents you from developing that maturity. And not only that, I would argue that not only are you stunting your growth, you're stunting your partner's growth, because it doesn't push your partner to grow either, because they're not have to be faced with your perspectives. And that can be challenging for them as well.
I love that topic of just you're not growing and they're not growing, because marriage is a masterclass, a university level class on growing up together, learning how to channel and focus and control our emotions and growing outside of the two little kids that we were when we came together.
And no one on this planet will be a better mirror for you to grow up and to look into than this person that you've chosen to do life with.
And if you do it well, you can learn from that. Mm-hmm. And then that's the growing part that Charlotte was talking about. Yeah. Okay. Let's look at maybe a classic example of this used in a relationship. And of course, we're going to use a stereotypical gender role, but know that it could be either person in the relationship who may feel like they can or can't speak up.
This isn't just a female thing. There are men in relationships who don't speak up as well.
Absolutely.
And that's been you too.
Yeah. I spent a number of years not speaking up.
Right.
And that's not necessarily because I didn't want to, probably just because I just felt like I didn't want to start a fight or something. Let's just say it's a man and a woman and they meet, they fall in love, they get married. She is determined to do everything in her power to make the husband happy. And she enters this relationship with the belief that making her husband happy means keeping the peace. And for a long time, everything seems fine. And then once children come along, she's working overtime, trying to keep the peace in the family. And when it comes to dinner, what movie to watch, she usually just acquiesces, responds with like, whatever, it doesn't matter to me, you pick. So the husband just goes along with it, making all the decisions. And she's taught him now, and again, just an example.
She's trained him.
Yeah, she's trained him that he's the one who's supposed to make all the decisions, that he gets everything that he wants.
Mm-hmm.
At least in this example.
Yeah. So now let's fast forward. 15 years have passed by and all of a sudden the woman begins lashing out at her husband.
She's an angry little elf.
And the husband feels blindsided when she tells him that she feels like she never had any choice. You've never given me any choice in anything. You know, my opinion has never mattered. He starts to get more confused than ever because she never spoke up all those times when he asked for her opinion. And when he explains that, she sort of brushes it off and thinks, well, maybe, you know, maybe we were never really meant to be. Maybe he was never my soulmate, right? I love that.
Because he, quote, he should know.
Because he should have just loved me and known and cared about me the way that I've cared about him. And if he had, then he would have seen me. He would have known me. He would have known what it was that I needed all along.
And in truth, in this example, he might have been a bit more curious.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So in the beginning of the relationship, when she believed that she was doing the right thing by not speaking up, she inherently set the tone and then created this pattern in their relationship. Her partner took everything she said at face value because he never knew otherwise. He never had a reason to believe that there was something that was bothering her, especially if it was bubbling up under the surface. And since she didn't really want to be a burden, she continued to just contain this and keep it to herself. But after years, all these little bit of micro resentments just build up. All the unspoken words and feelings turned into this major resentment. And it came out, and it often comes out in explosive and uncontrolled ways.
Yikes. And that's when they show up.
We all know how this story ends.
And that's when they show up on a coaching call.
Yeah, that's when they show up on a coaching call.
So this is a very maybe basic example of what happens when one partner doesn't speak up in their relationship.
Maybe exaggerated a bit, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I probably have three or four couples right now that sound very similar to this. But
I'm just hopeful that that's not that bad.
Yeah, maybe it does seem dramatic a little bit. Maybe it seems a little bit unrealistic to you out there. But I can guarantee you that if you took a moment to look at the relationships around you, you would probably see similar, if not the same, examples in relationships around you. So yes, when someone stays quiet and doesn't speak up for themselves in a relationship in effort to, quote, keep the peace, I love that one, they're actually doing more damage than good. But where does this sort of behavior come from?
I think sometimes there's gender stereotypes.
We'll talk a little bit more about cultural stuff.
But let's unpack a few reasons, because this behavior doesn't just pop up out of nowhere. It has roots, and they often go way back. So first off, a lot of this starts in childhood. And I want you just to think back about how you grew up. Maybe you grew up with parents who didn't handle conflict well. I know mine didn't. And perhaps there were yelling matches, or maybe silent treatments, or just a lot of sweeping stuff under the rug. Like, oh, we don't argue, or we don't fight about these things.
I love that one when people say, my parents never fought. I'm like, so they swept things under the rug. That doesn't always help either.
So if you learned these behaviors early on, you learned that speaking up maybe meant starting a fight, or maybe it meant getting shut down. You might have decided that it's safer just to stay quiet, learn how to keep the peace.
Keep the peace. I remember a friend telling me that she used to hide under the kitchen table when her parents would argue because it was so explosive. And not surprising, now as an adult, she freezes up whenever there's something tough to bring up with her partner. So she shuts down and she doesn't speak up in her relationship. So that's really not an uncommon one. I've actually heard that hiding under the table from multiple clients as well. So, you know, our brains just tend to get wired to avoid conflict if that's what we saw, or mismanagement, if we saw a lot of mismanagement of conflict growing up. You know, and here's another one to think about. I had a client one time tell me that she was always the good kid. Mm-hmm. This one's maybe a little bit surprising. She never got into any trouble. She was got the perfect grades, was the perfect child, but she had a sibling that on the other hand was totally the opposite, always
problematic,
always giving her parents grief. And her parents, while well-meaning, would often say things like, "Oh, thank God you're the good child. Thank goodness you're the easy one. Thank goodness you never need anything. You're just so easy." And similar statements like this, right, that would play on repeat all throughout her childhood. And through that, her child mind learned that she was loved, that she was safe, that she was good, and she was enough as long as she was quiet, as long as she had no needs, as long as she didn't buck the system.
Yeah.
So her parents obviously meant well. They meant it as a compliment.
But they taught her something.
But she learned something. She adapted to something and created this kind of coping strategy that continued into her 30s, 40s, 50s, into her whole life.
Oh my gosh. Another big reason that people don't speak up is fear. And part of this is fear of rejection or fear of conflict or fear of maybe not being heard. What if you say how you feel and your partner gets mad, or worse, they just brush you off? That fear can make you think that maybe it's not worth it. I'll just let it go. But here's the thing. Every time you let it go, you're training yourself to stay silent, and the fear gets stronger and stronger. And it's like avoiding the gym because you're afraid of lifting heavy weights. You don't get stronger by avoiding the hard stuff, and you don't get emotionally resilient by avoiding those conversations.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, there's a couple of other things, you know, other reasons. You know, there's certainly a cultural and societal piece to this. Sometimes
can be, yes.
Sometimes we grew up with messages about how we're supposed to be, you know, good girls don't make a fuss, real men don't complain, those kinds of expectations, those kinds of things you hear growing up. You know, those things can stick with you and they can make you feel like speaking up is somehow wrong or selfish. And one last thing I do want to talk about, because I think this is another really huge one I see a lot in coaching. Another reason why people don't speak up, and maybe I see this a little bit more with women, is self-worth. If deep down you don't believe your needs or opinions matter, then why would you bother sharing them? And I've talked to so many people who say things like, "I didn't want to be a burden. I didn't think my partner would care." And that's a tough one, because it's not just about your relationship. It's about how you are seeing yourself. And if you don't value yourself as an equal partner with a valuable voice in this relationship, then you're probably not going to speak up, and it's going to be difficult for you to expect your partner to value your voice either. So what we want you to remember is this, that every time you do speak up, you are reaffirming and telling yourself, "Hey, actually, I do matter. My voice does matter. And I am an equal in this relationship."
Absolutely. All right. We've already established how detrimental not speaking up for self can be and where this behavior comes from. But let's talk about how to fix it. And to be honest, it's not going to be easy, especially if you've developed this pattern for a really long time. And I might say, more importantly, you've trained your partner that this is the way that you operate. This is the way our relationship is. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a while to sort of undo that. It's going to take a while to rewrite the rules of the game, sort of like changing one of the rules in football. Nobody likes it for a while. And mm-hmm. then after a while, you're like, "Oh, maybe that works better." So this is going to be tough. But if you're both serious about building a more intimate, a more connected, a more resilient relationship, then you're going to need to take some steps.
Perfect. So the first tip that I have for you today is to start small.
Yep.
You don't have to dive into the really big, really deep conversations right away. So I would say maybe the best thing to do if you've really never spoken up much in your relationship is to start with low stakes types conversations. Maybe just start to talk more about your preferences and get comfortable speaking up about what those might be. So for example, the next time your spouse is like, hey, I'm kind of feeling like maybe pizza tonight. What do you think we should have for dinner? Maybe you say, you know, I'm not really feeling pizza tonight. You know what really does sound good? I am really craving Thai food. And something like that seems simple, silly, even maybe to some people. But those, for many, those little moments can build confidence. You're telling your partner something about yourself and you're sharing your opinion with them. And you're also conveying to them and also to you that your opinion matters. And over time, those little wins can make it easier to start to tackle bigger topics.
Yeah, it's funny. I saw this on Instagram. I really wish I could give credit for the person who brought it up. And if it is, email us. I'd love to give you credit for it. But they talked about what percent, where are you at on, you know, your food choices? So we had this conversation just last night.
Last night.
Yeah.
We were both hungry, but nothing sounded good.
You said, how about burgers? And I'm like, I'm like 5 out of 10, 6 out of 10 on burgers. Uh-huh. And then what was the other one?
I'm like, what about a sandwich? And you're like, oh, I had a sandwich for lunch. I'm a one on a sandwich.
3 out of 10. And those preferences are easy because now your partner has a better understanding and there's a myriad of other choices that you can pick.
Yeah. I love the numbers game.
Yeah.
What percentage are you on pizza tonight? 0. What are you on sushi? Definitely 0. What are you on Thai food? Oh, I'm like an 80% on that one. Oh, okay. Let's go to Thai food.
Yeah. Like in Thai food. I'm like, well, I'm a 60 on Thai food, but I can, you know, I can move on that number.
Yeah.
And those are really good ways just, and keep it fun and light. So it's not a serious conversation. We just sort of just share banter around a number, share your opinion. And then everybody wins.
Yes.
Instead of saying like, oh, I didn't want Thai food anyway.
Win-win.
Yeah, win-win.
So let's actually talk about how to have a conversation that hopefully doesn't spiral. And spiral, again, might mean one person gets hyper aroused and angry and aggressive, but the other person might also go hypo aroused, shut down, quiet, numb, unable to talk. So Spiraling can go in either direction, but how do we have a conversation, a difficult conversation where we can be clear, we can avoid slipping into blame, we can avoid slipping into accusations, and we can stay regulated?
We like using the feedback wheel, which comes from Tara Reel's work. We've taught this in a number of our past episodes. And it's one of our favorite frameworks for keeping feedback clear, kind, and productive. You want to recap that quickly so that we have an idea about what the feedback
yeah,
is?
Yeah, and we go into more detail in this in lots of our past episodes, yeah. But I think it would be useful to just go through the 4 steps really quickly. There's only 4 steps to the feedback wheel. This is how to deliver feedback to your partner that might be difficult. The trick for most people who are struggling to communicate is that because they haven't spoken in so long, They've
got a lot of words.
They have a lot of words.
They've got a lot of words they want to get out.
There's a lot of pent up words. And so try to just deliver this, each of these steps, 1 or 2 sentences max for each step.
It's so hard to do 1 or 2 sentences.
It is so hard.
Yeah.
So here, let's go with step one. All right.
Step one.
Remember earlier we used the example of you embarrass me in public with our friends, or you embarrass me in public. Let's do that.
I mean, that's a really good example because I used to tell jokes all the time that were not so funny.
Okay. All right. So the first step, if I'm coming to Robert and giving him feedback on something that he did in public, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to state the observable behavior that I witnessed him do. So I'm not going to give an analysis of what, like, you were a jerk, that would be an analysis, or you're a narcissist. I'm not going to give a diagnosis. I'm just going to stick with what I saw, what I heard as I experienced it. And a good way of thinking about this is think of it as how you would see it on a video recording. So for example, Robert, when we were at dinner with our friends the other night, I heard you make a joke about my tidiness.
Oh, that was funny.
Okay. Don't say that.
Okay.
So that was step one. And I did it in one sentence.
Right.
We were at dinner with our friends the other night and I heard. Now that was interesting, right? You heard me say, I heard, instead of you said.
Right.
Which one sounds better? Which one feels better to you on the receiving end?
I heard.
I heard. Yeah.
Because you could have misheard or didn't hear the whole conversation or maybe out of context. Or
exactly. So when we were out to dinner with our friends the other night, I heard you make a joke about my tidiness. That's step one. Okay. Continue with step two.
Now share your perception of the event by sharing the story that you've created. So try this. The story I've made up in my head is that you are embarrassed about my tidiness and you're making fun of me to our friends. Mm-hmm. Phrasing this way acknowledges the fact that you might have perceived things a little bit differently than they actually happened.
This step is a win. And most of the time when I'm working with couples, this is the step people leave out. And without this step, I see people get more defensive. Yeah. And so what it's saying is like, this is my perception. This is how I read it. I know I might have made this all up in my head and this could be a story that's totally wrong, but this is the story I've created in my mind about it. And it's bugging me.
That phrasing is super important. When you say the story in my head,
yes,
you're owning your perception of the event and you're allowing your partner to
have a different perception,
subtly correct that or have a different perception. It's like, oh man, no, it's not what I meant. And I'm so sorry that that happened. You're really just opening the door instead of saying you were a dick. Mm-hmm. You were insensitive. Mm-hmm. Like that's all of a sudden you were things, mm-hmm. right? Instead of that, you're really giving them an opportunity there. You're really just leaving the door open for a conversation, still keeping it open and so gentle.
And step one, all of this is describing what's going on inside of me. I heard this. I made up a story about this, and this is the story I created.
Right. Absolutely. Okay.
So it's everything that's going on inside of me. Then you're just going to state how it made you feel. This is an easy step. Step three, I felt really sad and hurt. That's one sentence.
Yeah.
Very simple. Just get in touch with how it made you feel and state it. I felt really sad. I felt hurt. I felt embarrassed.
Yeah. I feel like apologizing right now.
You didn't even do it. We made the story up.
I know. Okay. Step four. Now make a clear request for the future and explicitly state what you need to do to repair and then move back into harmony with your partner. For example, I'd appreciate it if you could be a little bit more careful about making jokes about me in public.
Simple.
And especially given the fact that you explained how you felt in the story that was in your head, your partner's got a great opportunity there to just say like, oh man, like I just got carried away. I was probably being a bit of a jerk.
I can see how you took it that way. Yeah, I didn't even think about it. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to make you feel bad. I was, I was trying to be funny. And
so let's go through the steps one more time. First is to state what you saw, heard.
Yep.
Number two, the story in my head about that I made about that is this. Step three, I felt, say the emotion. Remember, an emotion is an emotion. You're not going to say, I felt like you were being a jerk. You're going to say what the emotion actually was. And then step four, make a request.
Yeah.
And a request is a request. That is something important here is that it's not a demand. And so you don't want to phrase it like a demand. You want to say, I would really appreciate it if, and recognize your partner does have autonomy. So if you ask for something that causes them to have to maybe that challenges their values, they have a right to say no.
Yeah.
It's a request.
I think number four is the hardest step for people if you've not spent a lot of time speaking for yourself.
Because you don't know what your needs are.
Yeah, you don't know what your needs are. And now you're actually going to have to say something you want.
Exactly.
Right.
And think about it this way. What is it you need in order to move back into harmony? I think that's a good way to frame it. I'm feeling... Remember, all relationships go through these phases of harmony, disharmony, repair over and over and over again, sometimes five times a day, sometimes five times over dinner. And so it's like, that's normal, but I want to move back into harmony. So what is the repair action that I need right now from Robert to help me be able to move back into harmony with him?
Absolutely.
And that's a good way to think about what you might request.
Yeah.
All right. So see, though, those four steps help keep things really focused, don't they? It's not about blaming. It's just about sharing what's going on inside of you and what it is you need. Most of our clients, we work with have struggled with this. And a lot of times the homework that they'll get is just practicing these steps mentally before they actually do it out loud. And sometimes I'll even have them write out these conversations, imaginary conversations that they would have with their partner on paper just to start to build some muscle memory. And you know what? Like Robert said earlier, it's okay if you suck at it. We all suck at things that we're new at. It's going to feel unnatural and weird at first because it is unnatural to you. You haven't been doing it ever. But it will become more natural over time. Yeah,
just by getting the reps in.
Yep, exactly.
Absolutely. Love that. Last but not least, if you've been trying to speak up for a while and it's just not clicking, or maybe your partner is still getting defensive, or you're struggling to find the courage, don't give up. This is a very difficult pattern to break, and it's okay to ask for help. Feel free to reach out to us for help if you need. We'd love to help you figure out why it is so hard for you to speak up and give you some tools and your partner some tools to help you keep moving in it in a real positive direction.
Great. Whatever you do, don't shut down and don't go back to being quiet, because it might feel easier in the moment.
Certainly easier.
But it isn't long term in the big picture. Never speaking up for yourself is really only going to, in the long run, do more harm than good. It's unproductive for you as an individual. It's unproductive for your partner. And it's also unproductive for the relationship. Speaking up will make your life so much better. You'll feel happier eventually. You'll be more at ease with yourself and proud of yourself. And no one will ever have to guess where you stand, because it's going to be there right out in the open. All right.
I love that. All right. That's a wrap for today. Let's just sort of recap. Today, we talked about what happens when you don't speak up in your relationship, how it kills intimacy, how it breeds resentment. And it stunts your emotional growth, your growth individually and your growth as a couple. We dug into where this habit comes from. And we also shared some practical ways for you to start breaking that cycle. So here's the challenge for you this week. Pick one small moment to speak up. Maybe it's just saying what you really want for dinner. Maybe you use that number scale that we just talked about. Or maybe it's sharing about how you feel about something maybe small that's been bugging you. Try it. Stay calm. Use the feedback wheel. See how it feels. And then let us know. Come on over to social media. Come see us on Instagram at Master Your Marriage and let us know how it's going.
And if this episode resonated with you, please take 60 seconds to leave us that review on Apple Podcasts. It helps us to reach more people who need these tools. And you might even hear your review on next week's show.
Thanks for joining us on Master Your Marriage. Until next time, remember, be kind to each other this week. Put each other first. It's the small things done often that create the biggest impact.
Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Master Your Marriage. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, then we want to hear from you. Just go to MasterYourMarriagePodcast.com and send us your question.
Oh, and while you're there, you can also check out our retreats and events and even apply for coaching.
And make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you get advanced notice of when the next episode drops, plus show notes and many extras. Thanks again for tuning in.